If you examine tonight's title, it would seem to be that I'm suffering from a case of a stream of consciousness or free association. But I think not. Title says the 3 weeks, Parshas Maaseh, women and the love of Eretz Israel. So let's see. First of all, we, at this time period, during the 3 weeks, we always have to start with the words of the Magen Mezrich. As Rav Tzadok brings him, Isa b'shem HaRabbi Be'er. Halaposak kol rotfei hisigua v'ena mitzorim. Pasuk in Eicha, it says, kol rotfeha, all those who pursued her, hisigua ben hamitzorim. They were able to catch up to her, i.e. to Klal Yisrael, ben hamitzorim. And said the Rabbi Be'er, kol rotfei yudkei. Anyone who's Rodef, Yud-K, who's running after Yud-K, you can catch this, you can catch him, you can catch the Yud-K, Bein HaMetzarim, during this time period, during the 3 weeks between Shivasa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. And why is that? K'mashal HaMelech, as he says, K'she'enu B'Beiso Yish B'Yacholes L'Hagie Lov B'Nakil Yosef. When the king is traveling from place to place, he's not in his palace. There in the palace is an order. You have to pass by certain guards. You have to prepare, as it were, to be examined by this official and that official. But when the Melech is on the road, you can jump in front of the carriage and beg to speak a few words to the king. Kol Rodef Yudkei, anyone who wishes to run after Yudkei, the Borei Olam, can be Masakim Ben HaMetzarim. This brings us to another idea that we've said many times before, and that is the Netziv's interpretation of the Psukim at the end of Parshas Bashal to talk about the attack of Amalek. He brings a Psikta on the Pasuk that says, Vayomer ki yod al kes ka milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. The Tziv bringing the Medrash says, different from the way Rashi is Mefarshit. In Rashi's explanation, the Yad is the Yad of Hashem, and the case is the Kisei of Hashem, and he's saying, he swears, the Borei Olam swears, that his, neither his name nor his Kisei will be Shalom until Amalek is obliterated. But the Psikta brings a different Pshat, and the Yad in the Psikta is a reference to the Yad of Amalek, and the case is a Lashon of Kisui, of covering. And Ka, the Yad of Amalek, covers the Yud-Kei. And the Medrash brings the Mashal of a Melech who wishes to address his people, and a disgusting individual comes and erects a screen, raises up his hand before the face of the Melech, and says, you cannot see the Melech, and the Melech does not see you. And Steve interprets this to mean that just as we know that the osios of Yud and He are the sources of the creation of Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh, as the Pasuk says, Bitchu b'Hashem adayad ki b'ka Hashem tzur olamim. Hashem has created the worlds with the Shem Yud Kei. Mar Menachos explains, Yud is the source of Olam Haba, He is the source of Olam Hazeh. We've talked about this before, and now is not the time to be marach in it. The Vav and the K, the final Vav and the He of Hashem's name, Yud-Ke Vav-Ke, represents the Tziv, his Hashgacha. If the first two letters represent his creation of this world and the next, the last two letters refer to his providence, his divine providence within this world, the Vav being representative of his divine providence on a level that's beyond the realm of the norm, beyond the world of Teva, and the final He as referring to Midas HaMalchus, where his presence is revealed, his providence is revealed within the Teva. But be that as it may, we understand. Kol rotfeha, all those who are looking to catch a glimpse, to connect to the Yud-Kei, i.e. they're searching to feel that closeness, that level of Hashgacha, to understand it, to be near it, to perceive it, they have an easier time, says Rabbi Beer, during the 3 weeks. Step one. Step two. Gemara in Sota says, Darash Rabbi Simloi, Mibnei man is ava Moshe Rabbeinu likonis Eretz Yisrael. V'chi le'achol mipriyah, utzarech, ol izbo mituvah, utzarech. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu wish to come into Eretz Yisrael? He davened, redu tfilos, right? In order to be able to enter into Eretz Yisrael, Vishnevav, tfilos to be able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Veschanan. Why did he want so desperately to enter Eretz Yisrael? Asks Gemara, is it because he wished to eat of its fruits? Because he wished to derive benefit, to be satisfied by its goodness? Elakach Omar Moshe Rabbeinu. Harbe mitzvos netzav Yisrael ve'ein miskaimim ela be'eretz Yisrael. Ekanes anila oretz kedishi iskaimu kulan al yodi. That itself needs explanation, but the Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu under no circumstances was desirous, so deeply desirous to enter into Yisrael in order to eat of its fruits and derive benefit from its goodness, but rather to be miskaimim mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. Now, you're all familiar with that phrase, le'chol mipiryah, lizbo mituvah, right? We're all familiar with that phrase because it appears in our me'ein sholosh, in our bracha of alamichya. Le'chol v'nochal mipiryah v'lizbo mituvah. So there are several shitos. There's several opinions. There's an opinion that says you shouldn't say it. We do say it. But there's an opinion that says you shouldn't say it. Why? Because Gemara says, is that why Moshe Rabbeinu wants to come to Israel? You want to come to Israel in order to be kind of mitzvah and tlius ba'aretz. Yet we do say it. Hello, Devahu. It's a point to ponder. The Gemara says, that's not the reason Moshe Rabbeinu wants to come in. The Bach explains there that Lechol Mipiyav Lezvo Mituvav was not there because Moshe Rabbeinu was plotting, right? To eat tali grapes, or to drink Golan Cabernet Sauvignon wine, or to eat Maya mangoes. They're all delicious. That's not what the Gemara was talking to. He wasn't talking about, that wasn't even a possibility, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to come in order to lick his fingers after eating some of the delectable fruits of Eretz Yisrael, as sweet as they might be. But rather, says the Bach, the understanding is the fruits of Eretz Yisrael are sfugim, they are filled with kedusha from above, with connection to Hashem. The connection that there exists in Eretz Yisrael between the Ribono Shel Olam's place in Eretz Yisrael, which is in Shamayim, and it filters down to the fruits of Eretz Yisrael here down on terra firma, on our earth. That connection, that closeness, that dveikus is present in the fruits. Says the Gemara, is that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu wished to enter? The Gemara says no. Because that sensation of closeness Moshe Rabbeinu l'chora always had. He didn't need to enter himself for that. He wanted to come into Mimkan the midst of Tlis V'oretz. So now we understand why. In spite of the fact that the Gemara and Sota tells us that was not the reason for Moshe Rabbeinu's entry, yet we deem fit to include that in our Nusach HaBracha of Alamichya, because for us it is appropriate to derive that connection through the Kedusha, the Dveikus, the presence of Shechina, that is, as it were, inside the fruits themselves. For us it's appropriate. For Moshe Rabbeinu it's unnecessary. That's the nature of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael fosters a connection to Hashem. And emunah, bitachon, and dveikus, the connection to Hashem. Eretz Yisrael does that. How so? So, we've seen in a metaphysical sense, the way the Bach told us about the kedusha that's safug, that's absorbed into the fruits, the connection to the Shechina. But the Sforno perhaps it gives us a little bit of a different insight. It tells us as follows, in Sefer Dvarim, says, Ki aretz asher tovashom lirishtalu ki eretz mitzrayim hi. Asher yotzosa misham asher tizra ez zaracha vishkisa v'raglecha ki gana yorak. Va'aretz asher atem ovrim sham lirishtal eretz harim uvekaos nimtar shamayim tishtemayim. Eretz asher inei Hashem elokecha dorish osa tamid einei Hashem elokecha bo mireishis hashona vad achris shona. There are different ways to understand this psukim. One of the standard ways in the comparison or the contrast I should see between Eretz Yisrael and Mitzrayim, ki aretz asher vashom elirishtal, the land that you're coming now to inherit, lo ki eretz Yisrael, it's not like Eretz Yisrael. Asher yatzasa misham, that you left there, asher tizra ez zaracha v'yishkisa raglecha kegan hayarak. It's not like Eretz Yisrael, where you have to draw the water and water your crops. On the contrary, it's better, because the rain comes and does it for you. That's a point. But the Sforah says another idea. Sforah says, no. It's not coming to point out the physical advantage of Eretz Yisrael over Mitzrayim. It's coming to point out the metaphysical advantage of Eretz Yisrael over Mitzrayim. In Eretz Mitzrayim, the Nile, like clockwork, overflows its banks, water is plentiful, etc. That's why there's no reason to turn your eyes heavenward. You're numbed into assuming, expecting, living life with the assumption of that's the way it's supposed to be. Unfortunately, this is something that we are all too often guilty of. When things are going right, when things are flowing gently, sweet after, as it were, who remembers that it's Ribbono Shalom is sending to us? Do we remember? We should remember. We should. That's really, Sfas Emes has told us that that's the main kavana in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu, the bracha of Parnas and Shmon Esrei, is not when things are awry, Hashem, I can't make payments. Hashem, I'm not finishing the month. Of course, Hashem responds to those feelings, but the ikar is when a person, as it were, has everything that he needs, and he reminds himself, we spoke about this last week, reminds himself, it's all from Borei Olam. Says the Sforno, Ki ha'aretz asher tovashom l'rishtol lo ki eretz Yisrayim hi, she'ein etzrich l'kshamim, eretz Yisrayim doesn't need the rain. I mean, obviously the rain at the Nile's beginnings are there. But it doesn't need it in the land of Mitzrayim. While Nile, as we said, overflows its banks like clockwork. Limtar shamayim tishtemayim she'ein sham naharos maspikim lahashkos es hakarkos aval tzarech sheyishtu meg shamim. You need rain. You need to pray. Dorish osa tamid lashgiach al maase yoshvea. You can't fall into sleep with your eyes open. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, you must be conscious. You must daven. You must beg for the rain. You must establish a healthy relationship with the Creator. You can't fall asleep in Eretz Yisrael. So we see the very nature of Eretz Yisrael is that it fosters bitachon. Because things are not simple. They're not simple. They're not simple. Let's keep on going further. So I think we've seen that, first of all, during this time period is a time where a person can run after the Yud-K, the creator of this world and the next, and try and establish that relationship of, I want to feel closer in the world of your providence, the world of your Hashgacha. I want to discover it for myself. I want to feel its intimacy. We discussed how Eretz Yisrael fosters this sort of relationship. The bracha of Alamichya, the fact that we say Menuchal Mitpayav V'Nizba Mituva inside the bracha, the words of the Sforno on Ki Aretz Asher Tov Hashem L'Rishto Lo Ki Eretz Mitzrayim Hi Asher Yatzasa Misham Asher Tizra Zaracha V'Yishkisa V'Raglecha Gigan HaYarak. The words of the Sforno. Now let's go a step further. In Parshas Pinchas, at the end of the census, as it were, the counting of the Jewish people, it says, "Ve'ela lo ha'ish mipkudei Moshe v'Aaron ha'kohen asher poktu es bnei Yisrael b'midbar Sinai." This is the end of the 40 years. There is not any longer a single person counted here right, who was in that initial counting at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. Says Rashi, "Ve'ev lo ha'ish, aval noshim, ala noshim lo nigzor gzeres maragdim." There is no man, but women there were. Lefi shein ha'yu mechavavos es ha'aretz, because the women loved the Eretz Yisrael. They cherished the Eretz Yisrael. Anoshim omrim nitzna arosh v'noshuva mitzrayma. The men are saying, let's go back to Mitzrayim. Anoshim, what do the women say? Omros tnu lanu achuza. The story of those Tzlafchad. They were an example. The daughters of Tzlafchad, Moshe ben Menashe. He died. His daughters were concerned. Does that mean that our father's connection to Eretz Yisrael has been severed? They weren't talking about, well, we have places to rent out. When we have property, real estate, it's a good investment. Will our father's name no longer be attached to Eretz Yisrael? How could it be? How can it be? How can it be? They're mechavos Eretz Yisrael. Anoshim omos tna lanu achuza. Achach nisbecha, that's why the story of Bnos Lachlad comes immediately after the census. Achach nisbecha parshas Bnos Lachlad lakan. Fascinating. That was back in Parshas Pinchas. Since then, we have Pinchas, we have Matos, Amase. We're at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. The last thing spoken about in Sefer Bamidbar is the weddings of the Bnos Tzlafchad. The Shevet was concerned. They'll marry outside the Shevet, and our Shevet will be lacking. And so Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, we should look for someone within your Shevet, and so they did. Says the Pasuk, the very end of Sefer Bamidbar, Vatiyena, Machla, Sirtza, Chogla, Milka, V'Noah. The five daughters of Tzlafchad. B'Ros Tzlafchad, L'Vnei Dodehen, L'Nashim, they married their cousins. M'Mishrachos, B'Vnei Menashe, Ben Yosef, Hayu L'Nashim. Vatinach Lasan, Almate, Yeh, Mishpachas Avihen. They continued the Nachla within Shevet Menashe. And the last pasuk in Sefer Dvarim is Eila Mitzvos Hamishpotim Shatziv Hashem Biad Moshe El Bnei Yisrael Ba'arvos Moav Al Yerden Yerecho. Hello, Davarhu. The last thing, the last story, the last piece of information that the Torah passes on to us in Sefer Bamidbar is the story of Bnos Tzlafchad once again, the culmination of their story. Hello, Davarhu. Mechavavos Haaretz. Why do they love Eretz Yisrael? Let's go a step further. I think you already see the direction we're going in. Back to Sefer Bereishis. Vayu chayei Sarah mea shana v'asim shana v'sheva shanim shnei chayei Sarah. Parshas chayei Sarah, the p'tira of Sarah. And then Tziv points out, shnei chayei Sarah, appears to be unnecessary, a lot of unnecessary words. In Ekfar Pirashna Kamapamim Perish Chaim Veloshna Kodesh Shtei Mashmos. Steve says, we've already pointed out before, that the word Chaim has several meanings. It means life as opposed to death. It also means alive. With Simcha. Alive, alive, alive. Alive with Simcha, not with sadness. Positivity, excitement. All that comes from is bitachon. And that's what Netziv says. He expands on this. He says, Chazal tell us that Sarah was greater than Avram in Nevuah. He says, how can it be? You only have one example of Hashem speaking to Sarah in the whole Chumash. And that is a critique. Lama tzachaka Sarah. And Avram Avinu, Hashem speaks to him all the time. How could you say that Sarah was greater than Avram in Nevuah? Says Netziv, Chazal don't mean Nevuah, they mean in Ruach HaKodesh. And he defines the difference. We know the Radak in the beginning of Sefer Tilim actually explains, talks about the difference. Nevuah comes from above. It is the words like being hit by 100,000 volts from above. That's why people lose their senses when they experience Nevuah, prophecy. Except for Moshe. But Ruach Chodesh wells up inside the person. He sees things clearly. And he knows the reason he sees them clearly is because he's divinely inspired. He doesn't lose his senses. Says the Netziv, Sarah had that capacity. And why? Because she was always with Simcha. Her bitachon was strong. When she was taken captive by Paro, she even comments to Avram, you have a haftacha from Hashem. I have my emuna. Emuna, bitachon. The Sarah says, Zitkosa. Laihipale. Shaisa bemunoso bibitochon chazak ma'od. Naale. Lofty, lofty emuna bitachon. Kshmavua baraba. Shamra Sarah la avmavinu. At. Bavtocha vani be emuna. We know the litmus test of bitachon is a sense of tranquility. I'm at peace. I know the Ribono Shel Olam is running the world. I'm not afraid. Obviously, much easier said than done. I'm not trying to profit tzidkus. I'm not speaking from on top of a very tall orange crate in Washington Square Park. But let's at least get the facts straight. Emuna, bitachon, simcha, clarity of vision. Sfas Emes points out with regard to Tu B'Av, points out that the Mishnah tells us in Tainis that there were no two greater Yom Tovim for Klal Yisrael more than Yom Kippurim and Tu B'Av. And it says that on both occasions, the woman would go out and dance, and shidduchim would be made. And the Sfas Emes points out, halo davar hu. The women celebrate particularly on these days because the Cheta Egel, the final, as it were, statement of Hashem's forgiveness, took place on Yom Kippurim and received Lucho Shnios. The women dance because they would not give their jewelry over to make the egel. And on Tu B'Av, when we saw the last of the Mase of the Dor HaMidbar, was no longer going to, they were already gone, they'd all passed on. Atem hadvekim b'Hashem chaim kulchem hayom. Everyone rose from their kever. Every night they would go to sleep at their kever to see if this was their year when they would pass on. Tisha B'Av, every year, year after year after year after the Gzeira, that they would die in the desert because of the sin of the Raglim. And one Tisha B'Av, nothing happened. And they waited and they waited, and Tu B'Av, they realized, that's it. No one else is dying. Tu B'Av, when they knew that they finally, as the word, made compensation to one degree or another, not totally, for the Chetam Raglim, so women also go out and dance. Because women were Chavav of Eretz Yisrael. They didn't die in the Midbar. Pilei Ploim. Let's come now. I think we've seen now is a unique time to reconnect to the Ribono Shel Olam. Kol Rodfei Segua Bein HaMetzarim. That's one thing we've seen. We've seen that women have shown their great love for Eretz Yisrael. And that great love is not based upon, as it were, eating Maya mangoes. If you haven't had one, they're really very delicious. But emanates from the strong kesher that a person experiences in Eretz Yisrael. It fosters, it nurtures, it develops that relationship. The women were mechavos Eretz Yisrael because of that incredible experience of being in Eretz Yisrael. What it did. They were perceptive, they were understanding, they wanted that deeply. Bitachon. Connection. Like we saw from the Sforno. Eretz Yisrael fosters that, and the women wanted it. That's the sweetness of the fruits. or I should say the Kedusha and the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. That's why we say V'nochal mipriyot v'nizva mituva in our bracha of Main Sholosh. Now let's examine Maaseh. Ela Maaseh b'nei Yisrael asher yotzu mi'eretz Yisrael letzivo sam b'yad Moshe v'Aaron v'yechtol Moshe es motzaeihem l'maseihem al pi Hashem v'ela maseihem l'motzaeihem. Says it's for now. V'yechtol Moshe, right? Makom sheyotzu elav v'makom asher nosu mimenu. Where they came to, where they left. Says it's for now. Ki defamim hayam makom sheyotzu elav b'tachlis azrola. Sometimes the place they came to was terrible. A minus 5-star hotel. But Malcolm Shinosa Menu and the place they just left was the Ritz. It was exquisite. Why? Why? Ulf Amin Karla Hefech there. And sometimes it's the opposite. Why does he put that in? It's very interesting. It's like, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Ramban says in Eov. If we always saw a tzaddik v'ralo, so as perhaps as uncomfortable that might be to see the tzaddik always suffering, but at least we could make some sort of sense out of it. In order to achieve the highest level, perhaps of Olam Haba, one needs to bite the bullet here. Okay. Maybe I wouldn't have agreed with that, but no one asked me. But you see, sometimes tzaddik v'ralo. See sometimes Tzadik V'Tovlo. See sometimes Rosh V'Ralo. Somebody see Rosh V'Tovlo. There doesn't appear to be any order. That's a real test towards Emunah and Bitachon. So this is written. That was one Nisayon for them. Is Hashem running our lives? Yes. Do I understand? Not always. Perhaps sometimes, but not always. Because of Gamkein Inyan Hamasa, not just the where they left and where they came to, but also the Masa itself. Shailat Seis Mi Mokom El Mokom Bli Akdomas Yediyah. It has to be on the road immediately. Now's the time to go. Oh, but we just got it. Now's the time to go. These are two different types of Nisyonos. One Nisyon is, I can't understand what's going on. And the other Nisayon is, even if I could understand what's going on, even perhaps I do understand what's going on, but I can't take the base. It's part of the Nisayon of life. Once again, easier said, not so easily done. But at least, let's at least get the facts straight. Rashi says, also here at the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, Elo Maaseh, Rashi says, Lama nichtuvu masala salalu. So the different answers. The Rambam talks about it. Ramban, all Meforshim. Rashi though brings two Pirushim. One of Rav Moshe Adarshan and the other of Rabbi Tanchuma. Rav Moshe Adarshan says, he makes the calculation, you see that in the 38 years, Lonoso Ela Esri Masos, they only traveled to 20 different places in 38 years. So maybe it's not a lot of fun to move 20 times in 38 years. But it could be a lot worse than that. Focusing on the positive. It was only 20 times. Focusing on the positive. How do we deal, right? If the Svarno was establishing for us the parameters of Nisoyon, Rashi is coming to address how to deal with it. One approach is that of Rabbi Moshe Darshan. Look at the positive side. Look at the bright side. Rabbi Tanchuma, on the other hand, says, Darsh bo drosh acheres. Marshal melech shayad b'no cholo. We're going to go over all the places. What is it comparable to a king whose son was ill? V'holicho l'mokom rochok l'raposo. And he had to take him to a distant, faraway land in order to heal him. As they're returning from having seen the doctor, or whichever agent they saw, to help in the healing of the son, they pass by the places, as it were, and they recount, and the father said, ah, this is where we were together. This is where you were cold. This is where we were cold. We both of us were cold. This is where your head was bothering you. This is where we suffered together. It's a different approach. The realization that Imanochi Betzara. That Hashem is with us, even in the midst of our suffering. The first, I think, appeals more to the heart. Focus on the good, focus on the good, focus on the good. The second appeals more to the head, I think. They're both necessary. The Shekhinah is suffering with us. Again, do we understand what that means? Not necessarily. There is what to be discussed about that, but let's just take it at face value. The Shekhinah suffers with us. Tsar of the Shekhinah. In this context, I have to mention, I have two splendid friends. They're actually the third brother as well, but I don't know him quite as well. But he's cut from the same bolt of cloth. Exquisite people. Exquisite, exquisite, exquisite people. They're Talmidei Chachamim, and they're always there to help somebody else. Always, always, always. They're always there to help someone else. Exquisite. And there was always a smile on their face. I met their father many years ago, Zichron Livracha. There always was a smile on his face. So I knew that he had passed down those spiritual genes to them. I don't think it's biological per se. I think he gave over to him an attitude towards life. And I remember that at every simcha that I would meet him, he'd be always standing there, smiling, his family, his extended family, gathered around in the midst of the simcha, looking at them and singing to himself, Chahaste Hashem ki lo samnu, ki lo chalu rachamo. Chahaste Hashem ki lo samnu, ki lo chalu rachamo. The chasadim Hashem don't end, right? He never holds back his rachamim. Now this friend of mine, his brothers, his sisters also, was born in Canada. So when his father was nifter, I went to meet Menachem Avol, and I said, your father was born in Canada as well? And he says, oh no, our father was born in Romania. He's a survivor. He didn't even know what the Yortzeit of his entire family was. He just knows they were gone. They were wiped out. He's the only survivor. Here's a person, right? Chaste Hashem ki lo samnu, ki lo chalu rachamov. Amazing, no? Again, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about what I've seen. I recently was in Yad Vashem. And there was a fascinating video there. There's a lot to say about this particular video, but one particular thing that I noticed over there was Rav Sinai Adler's Racham was speaking. Also a survivor. He went through the war as a young man, went to Eisenstadt, to Auschwitz. And the entire time he's speaking to his interviewer, he has a smile on his face. And then at one point he interjects and he says, you know, people ask me, why do I smile all the time? And I tell them, thinking about it, it's true, I do smile all the time. If I didn't smile all the time, I would never stop crying. It's an act of will to look at the brighter side. And this is from people who have suffered immeasurably. David HaMelech says in Perek Lamed Daled in Tehillim, Avachos Hashem b'chol eis tamid tilaso b'fi. I will bless Hashem b'chol eis at every juncture in life. Tamid tilaso b'fi. We know there are many junctures in life. Life is a stream, but there are certain intersections. There's an eis lehov, eis lesno, eis milchama, eis shalom. Itim. Right? Intersections in life. Unique. Says David HaMelech, Avarachos Hashem b'chol eis. What gives me the capacity to mevarach Hashem at any eis? Eis shalom, eis milchamon, etc. is because tamid tilaso b'fi. This is where the Malbim explains the pasuk, because I'm always being mahalal Hashem. I'm appreciative of the good that He gives me. And I establish my relationship with Him based upon that. I don't wait, right? And just assume that as life goes by and things are, Baruch Hashem, more or less beseder, Naniach, yeah. And assume that's the way it's supposed to be. Take it for granted. And then when something goes wrong, I turn my eyes heavenward and say, hey, what's the story? Didn't you take driver's ed? I've established a relationship long before that. Avrachos, Hashem Bechleis, why? Tamiti l'so b'fi. There is another point that needs to be brought up. Once again, it's true. Is it easy? No. But it's true. The Gemara says, Baba Kama, it's talking about in the Sugi of Eish, a person lights a fire, he has responsibility for it, damages that are done. It says, Kiseisi Eish, who wants a kotzim, teitzim, atzma, shalom yishalim, amav yasabeira. The one who lights a fire, he pays for it. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then it interjects a piece of Agadata. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, alai l'shalem es ha-be'era shivarti. It's incumbent upon me to pay for the fire that I set. Ani tzisei eish b'tzion. I set fire to Tzion. I burnt down the Beis HaMikdash. Shneemar v'yatzeis eish b'tzion. I lit the fire. V'tochli sadaseah. And I consumed the Beis HaMikdash with that fire. And I will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash Be'esh. Shneemar v'ani eyeh l'chomas eish saviv. L'chavod eyeh b'socha. Ani tzisei eish. V'ani asid livnosa be'esh. I burnt it down with fire and I will rebuild it with fire. Divine Beis HaMikdash. Built with fire. V'alo davarhu. Isn't that bizarre? Did Hashem burn down the Beis HaMikdash maliciously? Is he a mazik? Is he someone who's not responsible for his actions? If it happened, then we deserved it. Why should he compensate? Why does he say, it's upon me, it's incumbent upon me to compensate the Jewish people for the Beis HaMikdash that I destroyed? I have to rebuild it with fire just as I burnt it down with fire. It was a punishment. Do we understand it? Don't we understand it? But the fact is, Hashem doesn't do anything for nothing. He's just. The suffering is justified. I'm not saying it's easy. Don't accuse me of mouthing words that I'm incapable of whatever. But it is a question. The Al-Sheikh speaks about this a little bit. He says in the beginning in Tilim, Kuf Mem Zayin, he says, Ki tov zamra elokeinu. It's good. Halleluka. Ki tov zamra elokeinu. Hina'im navasila. We should sing, we should be mezamer elokeinu, even to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he is dealing with us with midas adin. Hina'im navasila. It's appropriate that we do that. Because we will receive in return, and he refers to this Gemara in Baba Kama, we receive in return a Beis HaMikdash. That is totally transcendent. It will not be a man-made Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will build the Beis HaMikdash. It will have Beis HaMikdash, or fire will come down, whatever that means. Right? Come down from heaven. So that we should be mezamer to Hashem. Once again, the question is, why is he doing this? And the reason is, because even though it's justified, and even though we know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a dayan ha-emes, but there are things that we can't wrap our head around. We are mortal. We are made out of flesh and blood. So even though in our heads we know it's right, it's just, he is dayan ha-emes. But we can't. We can't understand it. We can't relate to it. When we work and struggle and strive and cry and say, but nonetheless I accept, even though to me it seems so brutal, so harsh, but I know that's my perception of it, but I have no other way to interpret it because those were the only tools that you gave me. I'm a person of flesh and blood. That acceptance is what generates the next step, which is, if you have made that leap of faith to accept, even though the bitterness is so hard and the tears are pouring out of your eyes and your heart is breaking. Now, if you accept, then I'll take responsibility for it. I can't remember if it's the Kliyaka or the Orach Chaim. One of them says in Chumash that when a person, even if he's being nanash, even if he's being punished because of something he did, but he accepts the ava, the punishment, it transforms it into Yisurim Shel Ava. Not just Yisurim of Kapara, the cleanse, but it becomes a statement of attachment to Hashem, and for that he receives reward. He's not only cleansed from some sort of deficiency that existed before, some sort of blemish, but he actually is elevated. The Agud HaKalim, the B'nai Saschem, will finish with this. So that Avraham Avinu was asked, what would he want for his children? So usually we hear, do you want Shibud Malchios or Gehenim? But the B'nai Saschem points out, that's not what it says in the Medrash. What it says in the Medrash is, do you want Shibud Malchios or Shibud Gehenim? Subjugation and Gehenim, what does that mean? Said the Agud HaKalim, B'nai Saschar, Rusi Elimelech Midinov, one of the Hasidic masters. Shibud means when you're totally, right, oppressed. You're forced. You don't understand. You just have to do it. It means nothing and it makes no sense to you whatsoever. Avram said, I would rather have for my children the Shibud of Golios while they live in the world of Bechira, when things make no sense. There are things that we call, again, Hashem is just, but there are things that are so horrible that they make no sense to us. It is Shibud. But when we accept it, in spite of the fact that we can't wrap our heads around it, not at all, but we accept it, that's an act of Bechira. That's an act for which we receive incredible schar. It is the act that generates, as it were, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. A Beis HaMikdash of fire. In Gehenna, right, there, if a Jew has to go to Gehenna, he understands why. And he's matzdik the din. There it's not a matter of Bechira. So, but Avram wanted to save us from having it in the form of Shibud. We've lost the world of Bechira once we, God forbid, have to be in that place. But our acceptance, it's clear to us that it's necessary to cleanse us. It's so, so clear. It's so, so clear. We're matzdik the din. And that's how we eventually exit Gehenna. But in this world, there's something much greater. We can be bocher, we can choose. I don't understand. The pain is too great. But I accept. I know Hashem is just. He is the Dina Emes. He is the Dina Emes. And though I cannot wrap my head around it at all, not at all. But I accept. And that generates an incredible reward for the individual and for the entire Jewish people. And that's why we'll be Zocha. We stand on the shoulders of people who accepted unbelievable things. Related, we're connected to people who accepted unbelievable things. Things that no eyes should ever see in this world. We're standing on their shoulders. And Mitzvah Hashem will be Zocha, along with them, to see a Binyan Beis HaMikdash of Eish. Hashem will rebuild it, just as he burnt it down. We should be Zocha. Amen.